Welcome to Career Tools. This week, the raise dangle. Here we go. Okay, Wendy, so we recently finished a series of casts on guidance on when and how to ask for a raise.
Yeah.
And then one of three things happens. Either the raise comes through, or it takes a while, which happens quite more frequently than people realize.
More frequently than it comes through immediately. That's probably the rarest case.
Or it doesn't come at all.
Yeah.
And we actually, this guidance is we're cheating from another famous Career Tools cast called The Dangle, which describes what to do when you're being told, hey, we're going to offer you this one job, but really we want you for this other job that's better. And basically, it's often false that they want you for the better job, and you end up stuck in the first job that you didn't really want and wouldn't have moved had the other one not been dangled in front of you.
Exactly.
And so, since a raise is rarely immediate, right?
Yeah, you can end up in the same place. Your boss can say, yeah, I'll give you a raise, and not have the authority, not be able to give it to you. You know, he's just saying it off the cuff. Yeah, I think you deserve a raise. There's a big difference between I think you deserve a raise and I'm going to move heaven and earth to make sure you get the cash in your bank account.
Or, yeah, but then even further, or I think you deserve a raise and I'm capable of granting it to you simply by saying that.
Exactly.
Which is exceptionally rare for the vast majority of people who are listening. So, okay, good. What's our guidance? What do we recommend people do when, after they ask for a raise, what happens and what do they do?
Okay, so the first piece of guidance is be patient because it can't happen immediately.
Two high D's recommending the rest of the world be patient.
Yeah, good, be patient.
Okay.
Secondly, follow up. And thirdly, decide what to do next.
Okay, so appropriately vague because it depends on all kinds of things.
All kinds of things, yeah.
Okay, so you say be patient.
Yeah, and partly because of what we've just said in the introduction, unless you work for a small company where it's the owner who's saying to you, yes, you can have a raise, and even in our small company, it takes a while. It doesn't take a while, but if you say to me, as my boss, I can have a raise, you've got to talk to Mike, and Mike's got to talk to Tracy, and then it's got to go through the bank, and there's only nine of us. So unless you're getting a check written by the owner, the likelihood of your raise being given to you instantly is very low. And as soon as the company is big enough to have systems, then it has to go through the system. That's why you have systems. And so your manager probably can't just walk into finance and say, hey, give this person 5% extra a month. They have to go through, you know, even if you're in a company with your manager and an owner, he has to go ask the owner. They have to have evidence that it was a raise and not a bonus or not some other kind of payment for the IRS, for the taxes. And he's got, you know, they've got to find the right time to go talk to the owner. And, you know, if the owner thinks or the company thinks they're about to lose a customer or there's about to be some other kind of cash flow issue, now's probably not the time to go ask for a raise. So there's all sorts of things that are going on, even if your company is only three people, that mean you might have to wait. And the bigger the company, the longer you have to wait.
Exactly. Yeah. And because of the systems that are often in place for all kinds of good reasons to avoid every single thing being done manually. One of the things that happens is people work for the CEO or the founder or the head person. And the head person says, yeah, definitely you deserve a raise. And they therefore assume mistakenly that that's the end of it. And yet, if your company has 20, 30 people and you work for the founder, the owner, the 100% owner even, and owner, founder, CEO, if your 20-person company has a CEO, they still have to go to the CFO. And the CFO might say, dude, we've been talking about this for 3 months. We start our big push to save up for thus and such. And so we're trying to avoid hiring for the next 3 months. And if we put $10,000 in, it's going to mess up my models and so on. So can we wait 60 days? Or can we wait 90 days? And you say to yourself, the CEO says he wants to do it, the president, the owner, the founder. And yet, even in a 20-person company, the CFO, who is outranked by the CEO, could say, this doesn't make sense. And the CEO is suddenly reminded that he's not talking to you. He's thinking about the entirety of the company and the value the company gets out of the plan he and the CFO have put together. And suddenly, even though your boss has all the authority in the world, it can take 30 or 60 or 90 days, not because your company is too big, but because your company is too small. Mm-hmm. Because $5,000 more a year, $10,000 more a year in small companies with cash flow can, in fact, be an issue, right? And maybe there's a question of the bank is doing an audit next month, and we'd rather have our books look just the way they look now based on what the CFO has been doing preparing for the audit for the last 2 months.
Yeah, it's not a question of outranking, right?
Right.
The CFO doesn't outrank the CEO, but he is there to give financial advice. That's the point of his role.
Yeah.
And so it would be remiss of him not to do so.
Yeah. So the ultimate answer here is it's not going to happen as fast as you want. If it happened at a small company immediately, that is such an aberration that if you're a young person and you decided when you're young, you don't have a mortgage, you don't have a spouse, you don't have kids, that you can take greater risks in your career and you decide to go to work for a small company, nothing wrong with that. Great career concept. And you got a couple of raises immediately and your sample of the world's asking for raises is 2 for 2, mm-hmm. getting told yes and being given them at the end of the month, you are a bizarre aberration. And you should not assume that would carry over to mid or large size companies. And then, you know, the point I made about the CFO taking or recommending a month or two or whatever, that may just make earnings smoother, may make the board happy, may make dividends to owners easier to do, may make you look, if you're the person that puts the company slightly below the profitability target because you feel the CEO has to honor your ask for a raise, and because you're now at 50% or 49.9% profitability rather than 50%, you're going to regret it. And if you'd known that everybody would have gotten a bonus, if you'd have waited 90 days to start your increase, you'd have been like, well, of course I would have waited. It's not, you know, people hopefully don't make their careers decisions up in 30, 60, 90 days. So what that means is you can't start the moment you ask and are told something that you think means yes, assume that you're going to get paid more. You have to wait. Don't assume anything about your pay until it actually is in the bank. If you get paid at the end of the month of April and you're told at the beginning of the month, yep, you're going to get more. I know people who already start spending more in April.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of the things about pay that people forget is you get paid at the end of the month for April, end of the month of April, and you get paid for April. And people don't realize that even though that's technically true, you spend April's money in May.
Yes.
And of course, then there are rare companies like ours where we pay at the start of the month because the only reason companies pay people at the end of the month is because they don't trust them enough to show up along the way. And that's an artifact of many, many years ago. Okay. So we have to be patient for all kinds of reasons, including the fact that you don't want to start spending your money before you actually have it.
Yeah, not that I've done that ever. So you're going to wait at least 2 months. It doesn't matter how big your company is, wait at least 2 months because you don't want to be the person who's nagging a week later,
yeah.
But you don't want to leave it too long. So, because we're going to tell you to follow up. So at least 2 months, and then we're going to follow up.
Right. And think about 2 months for a second, folks. You ask in the middle of the month. Your boss says, okay. She goes to the CFO. The CFO says, great. I'll put it in the next run. But the previous run was done on the 10th of this month. So this month is already done.
Mm-hmm.
The next run is on the 10th of the month. Okay. And then your pay is now, I mean, your raise is 6 weeks delayed. All we have to do is move those dates around a week. And suddenly your raise is delayed 10 weeks. And there's nothing but goodness in the entire process and systems that check and double check and so on. And yet, if it takes much more than 2 months, there should at least be a question mark over your head at that point.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you mentioned 2 months. How can we help ourselves with the issue of timing?
Well, first of all, if you know anything about the timing of pay in your company, then take that into consideration first. I mean, I know which day Tracy sends the pay for us over to the person that distributes the money. And so I could guess as long as I told Tracy something by the 20th, I'd be all right for the 25th. In bigger companies where I've worked, payroll runs on the 3rd or the 4th and you don't get paid until the 25th or the 26th.
Right.
And if you haven't told them by the 25th of the month before, it's not going in this run,
right,
like you just said. So before you suddenly assume, oh, my boss forgot, think, okay, what do I know about the systems and how long it might take? And am I going to my boss and asking prematurely?
Yep.
And if you think it should have come through by now, or I should have heard something by now based on what I know, then ask your boss. You could ask him what the timeline would be when you ask for the raise. When he says, oh yeah, that, I absolutely think you should get a raise, you can say, okay, thank you very much. And could you just give me an idea of what you expect the timeline to be? Because, you know, and you can make a joke like, oh, because I got diamonds to buy or whatever, just so that you've got an idea in your head,
right,
of when to follow up. You're not asking for a commitment. You're not saying to him, you're saying it will be there on the 25th of June. And if it's not there, I'm going to be cross. You're just asking so that you've got an idea of when to expect something.
Okay.
And you don't have to follow up, but things do get dropped, especially in companies where, well, anywhere where there's more than one person involved. You know, if somebody has to tell somebody, it has to tell somebody, or an email has to be sent, or a form has to be filled in, they go awry just because there's human beings involved.
Look, a perfect example of things going awry. Wendy and I were scheduled to record at 9:45. I sent her a note 2 minutes after we were scheduled to start, which said ready. Just ready. R-E-A-D-Y. No punctuation at all. And she sent back, yep. She made an assumption that I had to call her. My ready to her seemed like ready with a question mark, because she assumed I was going to call her. And I sent ready meaning I am ready, which implied you should call me. And neither one of us was calling. It was like the ultimate Romeo and Juliet, right? You assume that it's getting done. Somebody else assumes it's been done and nobody's doing it. You know, there's no malice in that. A lot of times I think people think big companies are heartless because more things fall through the cracks. That's because there are more things. Mm-hmm. Things fall through the cracks at about the same percentage among really, really good people who care about their work. If there's more tasks, more of them are going to fall through the cracks as a percentage of the total. And recognize when your boss says you deserve it, Wendy made the point of him or her having to go to bat for you. They're spending political capital. They may choose to wait a week or two in order to have one of the 3 or 4 conversations they might need to have, right? When they go mm-hmm. to their boss and say, hey, I really think Joe needs a raise. And the boss goes, yeah, you know, run it against the budget. The boss is like, yeah, in principle, I see it, but I don't want to think about Joe and then compare to the budget. And so your boss's boss is going to use your boss to do the legwork to find out, well, your boss working with your boss's budget means he has to talk to a finance person or to the boss's admin, and the boss's admin responds more to the boss than she does or he does to the boss's subordinate. And nothing is wrong. And people assume.
Especially around money.
Oh, people around money, exactly.
Very emotional response. We all do, because it's part of, you know, food, shelter, and clothing. It's you know, if we don't have money, we don't have any food, and we can't pay our rent, we can't pay our mortgage, whatever. Now, a raise isn't that, because hopefully you can live off the salary you're on, because a raise is never guaranteed. But because of those emotional responses we have, you know, you can get upset when a raise doesn't come through, or when things take too long, or when somebody doesn't make it as important as you think it ought to be. And that is your cave person saying, I need to know about food and shelter. It's not anybody else's meanness about we don't care if you get paid or not.
Right. Here's a perfect example of what people don't understand and how money is emotional. Any manager, any intelligent manager who was asked the question I'm about to pose to you would know that there is one and only one right answer. And the question is this: if your direct doesn't care which form of compensation he gets, should you give him a raise or a bonus? And every smart manager in the world knows there's only one right answer, and it's bonus. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is bonus is a one-time thing. It doesn't add to the cost structure of the organization. There are plenty of directs who would say it's unimportant. Some directs would prefer bonus, and some directs would prefer a raise. So there's a different perspective from one side or the other. Another thing, too, is the chief financial officer payroll is handled differently. And the chief financial officer of a really, really big company knows how much money he or she is going to earn on money in the payroll accounts overnight. Mm-hmm. If it's potentially hundreds of millions of dollars, that changes. And by the way, I know you're thinking, oh, well, my thousand isn't going to make a difference within 100 million. No, but think about the number of employees and assume you ask for a raise once every 2 years. Divide that by the number of days, the number of employees, and you realize there are 10,000 people in your company asking for a raise today.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we don't have some of the systems and we don't have some balances to every manager having total authority, we end up not being able to manage our money. Now, we're not defending big companies here, guys. We're trying to help you understand that there is no malice in the delay, and it's reasonable for you to follow up, and you're not being disrespectful to follow up. Frankly, I tell people all the time, I just told Judy, my assistant this morning, dude, you have to follow up. I know I was supposed to do that, and I didn't. And that's why you're there, to be my extra brain. And right now, all I'm thinking about is this one particular client that has a really important need. It's all I've been thinking about today. And I didn't do what she needed me to do. And I'm wrong. And she has to follow up. And it doesn't make me bad. And it doesn't make her bad for following up. In fact, it makes her good.
That's what she's supposed to be doing, right?
Yeah. So therefore, you don't have to be aggressive or confrontational. You are doing your job. You're holding another person to their commitment. Now, when I say it like that, people are like, ooh, I have to be aggressive or confrontational. No, people are busy. People are distracted. People are focused on what they're focused on. And believe me, folks, if you ever think you know what everybody else is focused on, I think you're crazy, first of all. And second thing is, everybody should, if we could get the tool that would allow us to be inside other people's heads, I'm serious, I think all of us would go crazy.
You and I definitely would.
Yeah. You mentioned about a joke, as I recall, something about mm-hmm. diamonds. I don't know that I would make a joke about diamonds, but being able to chuckle, being able to laugh about or deliver in a relaxed tone of voice something that you perceive might be uncomfortable is a great test. Something else, somebody asked me the other day, how do you know what people are going to say in the conversations you're having with them? I said, well, I scenario plan the conversation in advance. And it's basically a decision tree about, if I say this, what are the chances of them saying this or this or this? And the most likely one is this, and so therefore that, and so on and so on and so on. Well, one of the ways to have a relaxed, comfortable, not threatening, not arrogant, not pushy, not rude conversation with your boss about what he or she promised you is to practice it. It's to say, hey, boss, just a quick reminder, wondering about the pay raise. Or, hey, boss, I thought I'd follow up. It's been a couple of months. If there's something I need to do about the pay raise, let me know. And the boss is probably going to go, oh, geez, dude, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Right? And if you can do that 10 times and sound natural, when you actually do it and your heart rate is elevated and so on, you'll come across much more likely being natural.
Okay, so we're going to assume now that you've had that kind of relaxed, quick follow-up conversation, and the raise still hasn't arrived. It's past the timeline that you've had with your boss, that your boss outlined. Right. It's past whatever seemed reasonable based on the information you know about how pay works in your company. And then you have to have a more serious conversation. Not a serious conversation, but you have to, it can't be in passing, because in passing once is fine, but if it wasn't an accidental drop and there's more going on, you don't want to have that conversation in a hallway, because it's bad for you and it's bad for your boss.
And here's a classic example. I tell people all the time, no naked asks. Don't book time on my calendar and not tell me what it's for. My door is open, and if you really want an open door conversation, you can get it. But 99.9999999% of conversations with bosses are not open door conversations. They're regular business/relationship conversations, and they're completely normal. And so you say, hey, I'd like 15 minutes to discuss the raise conversation. Send it to him as an email request on for time on his calendar. That will jar the memory. And one of two things will happen. He'll do something about it, or she'll do something about it when they realize, oh dear, or they'll do something between that, the request and the actual meeting, or they'll ignore the meeting, or they'll have the meeting and solve the problem. But don't scheduled time and not say, people do this all the time, and not tell them what you want, and then walk in and say, hey, listen, I need to have an update on my raise.
Yeah, because what's the likelihood of your boss having an update if you haven't told him in advance that you want an update?
Zero.
The same likelihood of you having an update on something somebody owed you if your boss just came and asked you.
Yeah, here's the thing. There is political capital spent every single time a boss, if he or she doesn't have total, utter authority, dictatorial authority, the way three-person firm founders might have, there are steps to be taken. And there is political capital to be spent. For instance, maybe both you and your peer who report to the owner ask for a raise at the same time because the company just had a really good quarter because you listen to Career Tools and you know you're supposed to ask after you hit a home run. Well, okay, there's a conversation to be prepared for with the other person or something like mm-hmm. that. And so don't make naked asks. Guys, if you don't know what I mean, a naked ask is asking for time from someone and not telling them, thinking you can get away with not telling them what you're asking for in time. You don't get to ask for time without a topic. And so you ask for time to talk about the raise. What do you say?
So something like, boss, you and I discussed my performance in January and you agreed that my success in the last 6 months merited a raise of $10,000 and that you would support that through the organization. And I really appreciate that. I know the bureaucracy around here can slow things down, but it's been twice as long as you told me it was or you expected the timeline to be. Is there something I can do to help you make this happen, or can you give me a revised expectation?
This is completely reasonable, guys. And while you're being completely reasonable, your boss may hang her head and say, I know I told you to take 2 months. I was hoping about a week ago that I might be able to get it in 4 months, but now I've been told, despite the fact that I told you yes, I can't do it. I wish mm-hmm. I could. And I regret having told you that. Now, look, some bosses aren't that smart and they say, hey, look, I tried. No luck.
Yeah.
Really? You told me you'd fight for me and then you literally going to blow me off by saying I tried, no luck? That's not a very professional way to handle things. Well, the bosses are insecure people too, just like the rest of us. You say, hey, you agreed. You and I agreed. And by the way, sometimes if your boss says, I'll see what I can do, what your boss is saying is he or she will go ask. It's almost always better to have them say, I agree. But saying, see what I can do is basically them saying, I want to spend as little political capital on this as I can and get you as much raise as I can. And it depends on what mood the boss is in. As I start talking about this, Wendy, I realize the number of variables in this are literally
amazing.
Infinite.
Yeah.
Infinite.
I just remembered when you said that, being in hospital and having had anesthetic and it being kind of, I'd had anesthetic in the morning and it was kind of 2 o'clock and I was hungry. And I said to the nurse, can I have something to eat? And she said, I'll see what I can do. And even at 11, I knew that meant no.
No, yeah.
but I'm going to walk away and pretend to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just ask. You assume that there is no malignancy. There's no one is being maligned. No one is being, that there's complete innocence all the way around. Something has fallen through the cracks. You may discover that's not the case. But look, guys, if it's going to take 3 months, don't start stewing on it the day you ask. Be at peace for a couple of more months. Look, you've been surviving at this level for a while. The gears of bureaucracy turn slowly. And then, of course, we get to the last point, which is, what do you do now, Wendy, right? This is where you decided to name this the dangle.
Exactly. So there are some situations where you were promised a raise, you've had a casual conversation with your boss, you've had a more serious conversation with your boss, and nothing seems to be happening. And you have to make a decision as to whether or not you think it's actually going to happen. And
right.
Sometimes you believe that your boss is doing his best to get you the raise he agreed. He might be sending you, copying you on emails. He might say, hey, I talked to Joe. I'm working on Bob, whatever. You might decide that you are learning and growing enough in this role that if they can't give you the 10,000 or the however much it is, you still want to stay. You like this boss. You like this company. You like this job. And you can let that raise go. Or you can think, I can get that amount somewhere else,
right,
and I want to be somewhere else. And you think you can get that offer there. And only you can decide, as we've just said, there's a billion variables. Only the person in this situation can decide whether they believe they're being strung along or whether you believe that the company is sincere and they're trying to make it happen. And only you can decide whether they can make it happen in a time frame that you're comfortable right. with or whether you want to leave. You want to be careful not to jump to conclusions. On the other hand, you don't want to wait forever if you think that they're not going to, it's not going to happen.
Right. And I will tell you that because of money and the emotional component of it in people's minds and their mistaken belief that their worth is somehow tied to their salary or their income or their net worth on a piece of paper, what we find is these are the situations around money, not just asking for a raise and not getting one because it got dangled in front of you. These are the situations that most often go from I'm disappointed to I'm leaving. There are certain situations of gross ethical moral violations or power being used specifically against you in a way that essentially is an ethical or moral violation, where we always say, we can't say always, but virtually always, we recommend you make that transition in two steps. The first one is, I'm going to start looking. There's mm-hmm. nothing wrong with having been spit on in the face, metaphorically speaking, and deciding, I need to start looking. But don't do what so many people do and say, I'm going to go. Because the moment you say that, we found too many people make too many rash decisions, and the emotions of leaving, and I'm sorry, the emotions of being spat upon, the emotions of being dangled, the emotions of being, if you'll pardon the misuse of the word, disrespected, then get tied up in the leaving and the choosing another company, and all of it becomes infected. It's completely okay to say, you know what? This is not trivial, what's being done to me here, and I'm going to start looking. This is when, if you weren't before, you become open to other opportunities, and you dust off your resume, and you warm up your network, and hopefully the network's already warm. And maybe you stay, because 30 days later, 60 days later, 90 days later, things free up. It happens.
Yeah, and if it's close, but nobody's told you yet, and you mentally check out because you've decided it's not happening, and you're sitting in meetings and not contributing or not answering emails or whatever you do when you've checked out, then that raise isn't going to come to you when it would have done.
I saw that guy in a meeting. You really that guy deserves a raise? He sat there with his arm crossed and leaning back and rocking that chair and didn't offer one thing. And we were touching on areas that affected his part of the code or the software or the production line or whatever.
Yeah. Should I sum up?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so one, be patient. Two, follow up. And three, decide what to do next.
But don't decide in anger.
Absolutely. And money, like we've said, can be a difficult subject. It's an uncomfortable conversation. And the only way you can rectify the situation, if you think that you were promised something that you deserved and you're not getting it, you have to talk about it. You have to go ask your boss, you know, what's going on. You'll never, like, information doesn't just, like, appear by osmosis. If you need information, you want information about what's going on, you have to go ask for it, which so many people wouldn't do. They just sit back and make stories up in their head about, oh, he obviously doesn't like me enough to do whatever, you know?
Yep.
And remember, there's a lot of downsides to a new role, and leaving often isn't the answer, especially if it's all about money.
Yep. There you go. Well said. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, Ron.
That's it, everybody. Classic case of what happens if you're promised a raise and never get it. It happens. And now you know what to do. See you next week.